You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with Sweeney Murdy joining us again on the podcast this week as Brian Hoke continues to tend to new fatherhood at home, but he'll be back shortly. But Sweeney, thanks again for joining us on the podcast again. I think this is 3 weeks in a row. You're doing a tremendous job filling in for Brian.
People are going to start talking about us, Tim.
For one thing, I think Brian's going to come back. He's going to have to win people back after after your job on the podcast.
That's always the case when he and I are in the same room together. I imagine this is no different.
All right, so Red Sox, Yankees, and on Tuesday night, it felt like maybe a decade ago or 12 years ago because it had everything we used to think about every time these teams got together that maybe hasn't been there as much recently, but we had the benches clear. We had some taunting from the crowd to a player on the opposing team. We had a close ninth inning where things got real stressful. It really felt like kind of the glory days. Let's start with the benches clearing, because it just seemed like a weird situation. It's a triple by Chase Headley, ends up getting thrown out at third, so technically not a triple because of the throw from Jackie Bradley Jr., but then Rick Porcello says something. Suddenly the bench is cleared. It all seemed a little unnecessary, but fun in the same way for this rivalry.
I think it was all pretty tame by Yankee Red Sox standards. I mean, a lot of times, listen, you had – what was it? You had Roger Clemens and Manny Ramirez right in the middle of one of them, the most famous ones. I mean, these are some Hall of Fame caliber names you're talking about. And no disrespect to Porcello and Headley, but their confrontation didn't really match up to anything either, because they it was just a little bit of yelling, and everybody kind of went about their business after that. And, not that you're rooting so much for people to throw haymakers and get hurt, but it seemed to be a little, just a little sidebar more than anything else. I guess there was some thought by the Red Sox side that Headley was trying to steal some signs when he was at second base earlier in the ball game, and Porcello, I guess, found an opportunity to say something to him, and tempers flared. Headley kind of laughed about it afterwards. The one thing I know is when you had good, the old fashioned Yankees Red Sox club that you're talking about, people weren't laughing an hour after that happened. The fact that it was here tells you that it was still pretty tame by those standards.
What is it with the Yankees lately and sign stealing, leading to things? We had Mark Teixeira last week against the Mets, and now this. And
yeah,
to me, Sweeney, it's an unwritten rule, I guess, in baseball that I'll never understand. If you can steal a sign, heck, steal a sign. That's my opinion, but I know that's not the general consensus around baseball.
Well, I guess it's pretty much like everything else. Do what you can until you get caught.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so then we had that moment early on, and then things get real interesting in the ninth. First of all, because Craig Kimbrell just didn't have it. I guess the knee, recently he had surgery on the knee, and it was kind of acting up on him a little bit. Didn't have his control. He has the four walks in the inning. They actually end up going to get him because of the pitch count, and they survive. But within that ninth inning, you get the Fenway faithful with the "We want A-Rod" chants, which was great because that's what you want in this rivalry. And it feels like it's just going to build because he's not going to play in this series until Thursday, Sweeney. And it seems like the Red Sox fans just can't wait that long to see A-Rod on the field.
Well, at least you know he is going to play. I mean, there is that out there. I mean, I would understand that there'd be a little bit more tension if you didn't know, if he was simply just going to, you're waiting for a pinch hit opportunity. And there was the controversy stirred up because Girardi said on Sunday in the emotion of that press conference that he would try to get him a way to play every day if he wanted to, but backtracked off of it yesterday and with the idea that he still wants to try and put out a lineup out there that he thinks can win the game that day. And let's be honest, the Yankees wouldn't be releasing Alex Rodriguez if they thought he could help them win games. So the fact that he's getting him one game in here Thursday, I think it's a nice gesture that I think Alex is going to appreciate, even if he was disappointed by what happened yesterday, maybe not playing today. He has talked always very fondly about Fenway Park because he made his major league debut here in 1994 with the Mariners. And even as the treatment that he's gotten from Red Sox fans in his 13 years as a Yankee, I think he still has a nice attachment to this place. So getting a few at-bats here and getting whatever type of reception he gets on Thursday, I'm sure will be something that he will look forward to.
I want to get back to A-Rod in a minute, but one more thing from Tuesday night, and that's Luis Severino gets to make that start again, moving back from the bullpen to the rotation, and looked good early in this one, although it seemed like he never maybe had the fastball command that he needs. Ends up going 4 1/3 innings. He gives up the 4 earned runs. Not exactly what the Yankees wanted, but was there any progress from a starting perspective that Severino can take from Tuesday night, Sweeney?
Yeah, I think they feel like he's at least pitched better than he did, or threw the ball better than he did in his first turn here at the beginning of the season before he got sent to the minors. There's still some work to do there, obviously, but Severino's a part of their future, and if he's got to stub his toe a few times here, they're going to have to take that. Girardi was harsher in his assessments of Severino earlier in the season, not so harsh last night. I think that he feels like the progress he's made just with his slider and his fastball command, as you talked about, I think that there is better progress there from earlier in the year. And, it's hard to talk about that in the context of trying to win a game because, his performance lost him the game. But, as you're looking ahead to next year, you have to start. This is one start. You want to see what he does the next time out. This is a really good Red Sox lineup, and it's tough to navigate. We know that.
All right, back to Alex Rodriguez, because obviously that's been the dominant story here around the Yankees for the last week, or since Sunday at least. And I guess before that, because of when is he going to play, when is he not going to play. But Sunday, the official announcement that Friday is going to be his last game as a Yankee. And so much goes into this, Sweeney. In one aspect, I think Joe Girardi's got to be thrilled that he can just stop answering the questions after Friday. And really, I guess he's been able to stop answering them because it's been laid out there what's going to happen. But for it to end this way, it seems like the best possible outcome. Alex Rodriguez able to step up to the microphone before the front office gets up there and be able to speak about retirement and everything. I mean, I was shocked the way this all came about and the way the Yankees were able to do it. But at the end of the day, it seems like the best-case scenario for everybody right now.
Well, first of all, he's not retiring.
Right.
He's being released. And the Yankees are giving him an opportunity that no other player that's ever been released has ever gotten, as far as I can recall. They're giving him a mini farewell tour, and they're letting him play in front of the home fans one more time. And a chance where he can invite his family to come see him play. And they're treating it as retirement with an on-field celebration beforehand. But then they're letting him go. So there's still this awkward feeling about this whole situation. You're throwing him a party and then telling him, all right, time to leave because you can't help us anymore. And A-Rod himself isn't calling this retirement. He would not close the door on trying to play for another team if they came asking. I don't know if they'll come asking. Even Joe Girardi, who has been in A-Rod's corner through a lot over the course of the last few years, answered, I thought, pretty honestly when he said he wasn't sure that Alex could help another team because if they thought he could help this team, he would still be here. So a lot of unusual circumstances around this, and it's probably typical for what has really been A-Rod's career.
696 home runs. That's the one number I think that, if anything, would get him back on the field, Sweeney, to be that close to 700 and not to be able to get it. But I guess from A-Rod, it works out in the sense that you said it's not retirement, it's a release, which means he's going to end up getting that money that the Yankees owe him as well. It'll be interesting to see if a team will take a chance on him, at least in spring training, and see what he has. I thought one thing that stood out to me from the press conference was when somebody asked Brian Cashman about what he meant to the Yankees, and Cashman actually was wearing his 09 ring, obviously no coincidence, and he took it off and he showed it and he said, I wouldn't have this if it wasn't for A-Rod. I think they did this with as much class as they could, as you said, basically in a way kicking a player out, but doing it with maybe, nice cotton gloves and doing it as carefully as possible.
Yeah, I've been told that the front office approached us with the idea that they didn't want to embarrass A-Rod during this. And frankly, this is a negotiation that came basically Hal Steinbrenner to directly to Alex Rodriguez. Again, this is not something that normal players get to do over the course of their career or at the end of their career. That 09 championship, I think that's going to become a bigger part of A-Rod's legacy and the way Yankee fans look towards A-Rod the longer it takes for the Yankees to get back there. I think Mark Teixeira is going to be viewed kind of the same way. When you think about an eight-year contract that he signed for that kind of money, the Yankees won a World Series his first year and then never got back again. It's as a whole, from the Yankee fan perspective, when you consider the era they just left, that sounds disappointing. But I think the further you get removed from that, Yankee fans are going to look back on the members of that team a little bit more fondly, kind of like the way, you know, this weekend they're going to be celebrating the 1996 Yankees. You know, they're are going to be kids who were 13 years old back then. They're now 33 years old, probably families of their own. You're bringing their kids and saying, look, that's Derek Jeter. That's Mariano Rivera. And they're going to be looking back at that era fondly. I think the appreciation for the members of that 09 team, even guys who maybe you expected more championships from, I think that will go up as time goes on.
All right. Great stuff, as always, Sweeney. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Yankees edition. For Sweeney Murdy, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.